Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the theme of Love Is. And it's February. Okay, Valentine's Day is happening a week on Wednesday, if any of you had forgotten. Okay, and so the world at large, okay, during February focuses its attention on love. They may focus their attention on the wrong kind of love, but they focus their attention on the word love. And as a church, we're going to do that over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at what love is, what it means in the Bible. What is it? How do we love well? How do we engage with love? And how do we communicate love well? Because whether you know it or not, your love is communicated to those around you. And sometimes we communicate love really well, and sometimes we don't. And we're all guilty of that. And there will always be times in our life when we struggle with this. And so we're going to look this whole month at Love Is. That's the title for what we're going to be doing. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you think love is? You can shout something back if you want. Oh, that's a new one, isn't it? No, you've all gone quiet now, haven't you, eh? You won't be quiet down in the cafe in a bit. Oh, come on then, Eric. Love is putting up with your husband. So I say amen to that, Eric, okay? Love is putting up with the annoyances. It's loving in spite of. We won't say putting up with. Eric is quite a Yorkshire man, so I get what you're saying there. But kind of loving in spite of sometimes. Anyone else? What is love? Unconditional, okay? Love should be unconditional. Love from God to us is unconditional. And sometimes we may struggle with that, but it should be unconditional. You don't love to get something back. You love because you love. Anything else? Oh, few going. I'm not quite sure who said something then. Faithful. Compassionate. Ooh, just going to sit down and let math carry on. Love is the only force capable of turning an enemy to a friend. That is absolutely true. Anything else? No one else wants to say anything now, do they? Any others? Not envious, not jealous. It's an action, not a feeling. It is. It's very courageous, actually, to love, and that unconditional love that we brought out. Very courageous to love in that way. I just kind of wrote down what is love, and we've said, you know, it's an action, not a feeling. That there is feelings within love, and I think all of us would know that. Love is our words. Love is our actions. Love is the thing that we express to someone else, and sometimes I do it well and sometimes I don't. But what we're going to hopefully come to the conclusion about over this month is that simply this, the Beatles were right, that we can't live without it. All we need is love, they sang, okay? So we have to get good at demonstrating it. And some of the things that we've got out this morning of what love is, I absolutely agree with. I want to tell you from the Bible, and we're going to turn to like the bit of the Bible that is always read at weddings. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. So you can try and follow along if you like, but we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And it says this: if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed an unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I'm nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated. or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. I love that. For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set my childish ways aside. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected through in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has now been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. I love this last sentence. It says this: so above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. This week, I'm glad Elaine said what she said, because this week we're going to look at the fact that love is a verb. It's a verb. It's a doing word. It's an action word. Okay. I can't remember much about everything I learned about in English. I'm sorry, Lucy. Okay. I can't remember much. Okay. My kids come home with their English homework and Oliver is in year two. I had to really sit and think about his English homework last week. Okay. And they come home and they have all these, you know, nouns and pronouns and all of that. I cannot remember learning that at six. Okay. But the one thing I always remember is the definition of a verb. And the verb is a doing word. It's a word that requires action. And the word love is a verb. And I was kind of thinking about what to bring. And I went back to kind of, you know, the kind of mid to late 1990s. There was a band out called DC Talk. And I loved DC Talk and tried rapping a few times. It didn't work. And I'm not going to try it now. Okay. But it was kind of, they wrote a song called Love is a Verb. And they talked about what Jesus did on the cross. And they talked about God didn't just talk about he loves you, but he did something about it. And we're going to look at that this morning, how actually the way we love needs to be active and not passive. And we're going to look at what happens when our love becomes passive and when our love becomes inactive. But first of all, I want to look at some of the actions that should be produced from the love that we give to others and from the love that we receive from God. I love what Jesus says in the bit where, in the Bible where they're taking communion, he says this: I received from the Lord that which I passed on to you. You see, when we receive something from God, we're not meant to keep it inside. It's meant to show in the way that we live and in the way that we treat others. And what I want to do is kind of take 1 Corinthians 13 this morning and let's look at what we've received from God and what we should pass on to other people. What we've received from him, because everything that God talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 is the love that we have received from him that then should outwork itself from our lives. So are we ready to kind of cringe a little bit, as we always do when we read through some of these? I'm going to go back to the NIV version as I look at them. So what are some of the actions then? My first thing, what are some of the actions that the Bible tells us love is? So number one, love is patient and kind. Love is patient and love is kind. And you know what? In the short term, this is quite an easy thing. In the long term, it's not. If you have been married for maybe more than a month, right? In the long term, it's not always easy. Patience. You know, when people read through this and you say, what kind of attribute of love do you need more of? Most people would say the first one. Most people would say, I need to be more patient. I need to be more patient with my spouse, or I need to be more patient with my kids, or I need to be more patient with my friends. I have received from God that which, you know, I'm going to pass on to you. What we receive from God should be passed on to someone else. You know what? God is incredibly patient with me. Is he with you? You know, as I think through, you know, maybe the things that I've done, the things that I have thought about, God is incredibly patient with me. He is incredibly kind with me. The amount of stuff ups I make, the amount of mess ups that I make, the amount of times that you will do the same things. Okay, God is incredibly patient and he is incredibly kind. So what we receive from God, we should pass on to someone else. So those people in our world that we struggle to be patient with. And for me, that comes in seasons. Sometimes I'm incredibly patient, and then other times I have no patience whatsoever. Okay, I don't know if that happens for anybody else. Okay, some days it's just like, yes, we can do that question for the 20th time in your homework, sweetheart. And then other days it's like, are you not listening to what I am telling you to do? And at that point, the kid switches off, and we don't get anything done. Or I have to tell them the answer, which I hate doing. I'm not one of those parents. Probably because they'd get it wrong and they'd go, but that's what my mum told me. And then that wouldn't look good, would it? Love is incredibly patient and love is kind. If love is a verb, those are two doing words. Those are two things that we need to be if we are going to be people who love like God loves us. Do you know what? We are all different. Some of us are really sensitive and some of us are northern. That's true, isn't it? Some of us can be really, and some of us are just not sensitive at all, and we're tactless sometimes. Some of us enjoy, you know, the great outdoors, and for other of us, it's, you know, stick a fire on and let's bunker in and watch a movie or whatever. We're all different people, and yet in the family of God, we've got to learn to demonstrate what love is, because we've all received that love from God, and so therefore we should extend it. We're all different, yet we've got to learn to get along. We've got to learn to find a common ground, because love is patient and love is kind. And for those who may be, you know, of a sensitive nature, and for those who may not be, is that a sensitive way to say that? Okay, those who may not be, somehow we've got to find patience with one another. And we've got to find kindness with one another, because what we receive from God, we need to pass on. Second thing that I put down is that love is unselfish. Do you know, we live in a get what you can world, and God calls us to love differently in the middle of all that. God wants us to show that we put others first. God sometimes wants us to act in a very unselfish way towards others. Why? Because we have received that from him. God has not been selfish. In fact, the Bible tells us that he gave up his own son so that we could have a relationship with him. God is unselfish. And what we receive from him, he wants us to extend to those around us. Love is unselfish. Selfish love walks away when it's not satisfied to find satisfaction somewhere else. But God's love, the love that we receive, the Bible tells us is never ending. It's unselfish. We show people a love that isn't about what we can get from them. We show people a love that isn't about us becoming greater. It's just about loving someone. We can put all these grand things on love. We can put all these grand things on, you know, I did that for them and they never did it back. Then you didn't do it in love. You did it in selfishness. Because unselfish love gives even when it's not reciprocated. Right. Love is patient, love is kind, love is unselfish. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that love is pure. Do you know what? This world has turned love into anything but pure. The love we receive from God and the love that we should have for one another is pure. It's not degraded. It's not smutty. It's not lustful. It's not any of those things. It is pure. There is a purity about it. If you watch any movie, okay, or most series on TV, it doesn't show you a love that is pure. It shows you a love that goes out to get what it wants, whether it's right or not. Do you know what? God's love is all about rightness, and it's all about purity, and the way that we love others should be of the same way. The world tells us as long as you're happy, that's all that matters, but that's not true. Because if my happiness hurts him, that's not love. If I do what I want to make myself happy and in the process I hurt my husband, that, you know what, that's not me loving him. This morning, love is pure. The next one is love hates evil and loves truth. Real love brings truth, and real love is truth. Real love will hate what hurts others, but will cling to what brings healing. You know, this morning I want to just really get out to us that the love that we receive from God hates evil and loves truth. Because the Bible says that Jesus said about himself, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is truth, and so the love that he gives us can be nothing but truth. Love protects. Do you know what? Real love protects others. If I was walking through the streets of Louth with Math, and someone walked up to me and started really having a go, and Math did this, I'd have a bit of a problem with that. Like if someone walked up to me and started, you know, attacking me, whether verbally or physically, and my husband kind of took a step back and was like, go on then, there you go. Okay, I'd have a bit of a problem with that. Because love protects. And the person who should love me most is this man here. And love protects. And so this morning, I want to put it out there to you that if our love isn't protecting one another, then maybe we need to change the way that we're loving. Real love will protect someone's faith, someone's integrity, and someone's passion. And it will spur them on into the things of God. I want to bring a challenge to us this morning as a church. Maybe those of you who are married, maybe those of you who are parents, maybe you're in a friendship group. Hopefully we all fit one of those three categories. With those people in your world that you have relationship with, okay, do you spur them on in the things of God? Do you encourage them and challenge them in the things of God? I want to say this morning that love protects. It protects our faith. When somebody you know is going through something, okay, do you give them all the kind of the world answers, or do you open the Bible and go, actually, this book's got the answer for you. Let's delve into it together and let's find it. In your marriages, when things come up in your life or just in everyday life, do you bring out the God person in your spouse? Because love protects. It protects our faith. On those days where I'm like, could jack everything in, or, you know, this is a really tough situation. If Math went, yeah, well, go on then, love, that's fine. You go and do that. Not a problem. You know, he doesn't do that. He goes, okay, let's see if we can solve the situation. But if not, you know what? God's got it, Joe. God's got it. What's God told you to do? I remember the days when finances were really struggling in church. And I came to Matthew and said, this is where church is at. What do I need to do, love? Do I need to go and get a job? And I would have gone and done anything. And he turned around and said these words to me, and I'll never forget this for as long as I live, because this was him bringing out the God in me and allowing me to be who I needed to be in God. He was protecting my call, and he was protecting my faith. And he said these words to me, what was the last thing God told you to do? So the last thing God told me to do was to do what I'm doing. He says, then until God says move, you stay exactly where you are. Because love protects. Love protects our calling. It protects those things of God that are in us. It's not just about a physical protection, but it's about a spiritual one as well. Parents, do you bring out the God in your kids? It's hard that sometimes, isn't it? It's hard that it takes time and it takes effort and, you know, and it takes time to sit down and say, right, we're gonna read the Bible together, or we're going to pray together, or, you know, when your kids are going through stuff, where's the first place that you turn to for your help? Because the psalmist says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help comes from? My help comes from God, first of all. There are loads of other ways that you can get help, and they are valid and they are right and they are brilliant. But first of all, when it comes to our kids, where do we go to? So love protects. Two more, love trusts. James said love is courageous. It's true, because love, oh, that's all right. Sam didn't like that bit of his apple. Love trusts. It's courageous to love. It's courageous when love has been trampled in your life for you to love again. It's a courageous thing, but love trusts. I can trust God with everything. God has never let me down, and he never will let me down. Even when life has let me down, that's life. It is not God. Love trusts. It trusts at all time. You know, it's very hard sometimes to build up that trust, and it can very easily be trampled. We've got to be careful with people. Can I just say this to us as a church? We've got to be careful with people's hearts. We've got to be careful with their trust. Because for some, it's harder than others to trust. And it can take a moment to break down what God has been building up in someone for a long time. Just be careful how we love one another. Because love trusts. And then lastly, Corinthians tells us that love endures. And this is a hard one to talk about in the world in which we live, because so much love doesn't endure. But I want to say to you this morning that what we've received from God, we pass on. We have a love that endures. We have a love that works through the stuff. We have a love that endures. We have a love that always wants the best. We have a love that champions other people. I want to say to us this morning, God's love for you, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, okay? Doesn't matter how the last, you know, few years, few days of your life has been. God's love over your life will endure for eternity. Eternity. You can't get more enduring than that. The world tells us that love until you don't want to. But I want to say God's got a better way. I love those verses in the New Testament that says, you have heard it said, but now I tell you a better way. This morning, as our church grows, and it is doing, as our church grows, we're going to have to adopt this. We're going to have to bring this in as part of who we are, that our love endures. Even in the tough stuff, even in the tough times, our love endures. And the second thing that I want to talk about this morning is that love acts, it doesn't just talk. I love this verse. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, are you ready for this? It says this, for the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not simply impressive words. In the NIV, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but of power. I think sometimes in church, we can have a lot of talk and not much power. Okay, I want to kind of reverse that for us, because actually, the kingdom of God is all about love. The Bible says that God is love. You can't take love away from God. You don't say that it's one attribute of God, because God is love. Everything about him is love, everything. You can't take one part of God and say, this isn't about love. Every part of God is about love. And if God is love and his kingdom is a kingdom where love is active, we can take from this that to love like God takes more than words. It takes action. It takes us doing something. The word power in that verse in 1 Corinthians 4:20 means this. It means the power residing in a thing by virtue of its character. That word power, it means that there is power for performing miracles. That word power means that it's consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts. These are not passive words, okay? And the Bible describes the church as God's army. His army that are going to march forward, that is going to do something incredible on the earth. But I want to tell you that God's love is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. The word power here literally means a force, an ability, an abundance, and a strength. That's so much more than a feeling. It's so much more that, yes, I feel this today. No, I don't feel this today. Because what I feel today, I may not feel Monday morning. Don't know about you, but I don't always feel Monday morning like I did singing I Know in the middle of the worship on Sunday. You know, and whereas my faith is stirred and I know when 6:30 hits on a Monday morning and I've got to get up, get the kids ready, get them out, get to work, do the tea, sort the house out, got an elders meeting tomorrow night, I may not be in that same frame of feeling that I was as Diane sang that song. But the love of God is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. It's a matter of force, ability, abundance, and strength. When our love becomes inactive and stagnant, it can become lazy. And I want to say to you this morning that lazy love hurts people. And what I want to do is I want to look at what happens when our love becomes lazy. And I've just got a few things to talk about here, okay? When our love becomes lazy, it loses patience. When we become lazy in how we love, we will forget patience. We will end up being demanding, not patient. When we become lazy in how we love others. This happens in friendships, it happens in churches, it happens in marriages. When our love becomes lazy, we will lose that patience that we receive from God and that we should pass on to those around us. When we lose the passion and the desire to love well, we lose our patience with people. Secondly, lazy love rests on what has been done. What do you mean I need to buy you flowers for Valentine's Day? I bought you flowers 2 years ago. Do you not remember? What do you mean we need to go out for a meal? We went out like about 3 years ago. Can you not remember that restaurant that we went to? What do you mean in friendships we need to grab coffee? We grabbed coffee a few months ago. That's absolutely fine, isn't it? Lazy love rests on what's already been done. And when we do that, we will find that if we don't amend that quickly, there will be problems for us down the road. Matt talked about mission. I was kind of thinking of, you know, some stuff that we've done before. Those of you who've been around for a long time, I don't know if you remember the year that we did the extreme makeover. Anyone remember that? We had a girl in our church and she had a little boy and they were living in a house that was not fit for anyone to live in. And we went in and we, as part of mission, so we did kids in the morning, we did youth in the evening, we did an extreme makeover, we did other stuff. During that week, we went in and we made over a house and we carpeted it and we painted it and we put fresh linen on the bed and we did out this little boy's bedroom and, you know, got him new toys. It was absolutely incredible. It was hard work. It was demanding. It was nearly the death of some of us, okay? But it was absolutely brilliant. But you know what? We can't come and say we love brilliantly as a church because a few years ago we did that. Because you know how many years ago it was that we did that? 11. It was 11 years ago. You can't say we're loving people because we did something 11 years ago. We can't even say we're loving people because we did something 2 years ago. Because if the only time Matt showed me he loved me was every 2 years, I'd have a bit of a problem with that. Lazy love rests on what has been done. And it struggles to find something new and a new way to show that it loves. I remember Matt and I's first Valentine's Day. It's a bit of a long time ago now. But Matt had been at work, I'd been at work, and I got round to Matt's house after finishing work, and there was candles. Math had cooked. He has two dishes that he makes, okay? And that night I got lasagna, okay? The other one is sausage casserole. They are both absolutely delicious, okay? But I went around and he'd cooked a meal and there were kind of candles laid out in a nice kind of I love you sentence and it was all really nice and there was a bit of a quiz that I had to kind of go and listen to someone on a CD and all of this. It was like big. It was our first Valentine's Day, okay? And I had baked him a cake. I'd spilt the red dye all over my new jeans, okay? And I'd bought him fish because I thought he needed pets. And we called the fish Vic and Bob. And they died quite quickly, actually. But it was the first Valentine's Day and we made an effort. We made an effort because it was the first one that we had, okay? And we made an effort. You know, and there was a mixed CD because that's good, isn't it? Okay, mixed CD. And it was all absolutely, it was lovey-dovey and it was all absolutely fantastic. There was nothing lazy about that night at all. We had both worked really hard to pull off that night and to make sure the other one kind of knew how we felt about each other. Now, 17 years later and two kids. It's pretty much still the same, to be honest. He's the only guy that I know has, actually it's 16, isn't it? Has done 16 mixed CDs and not put a song on twice. We will always make the effort, not because we believe in love as the world believes, but actually we're given a day where we can celebrate one another. And so a lot of people might say 17 years and two kids later, it's not really the same. Actually, the effort is still put in because we refuse to get lazy about loving one another. I want to challenge you people who are married a week on Wednesday, do something good. Come on, let's not get lazy in how we love one another. Do something good. You see, since that first Valentine's Day, I found out two things. So I have amended maybe how I love Math on Valentine's Day. Math doesn't really eat cake. Is the first thing I've found out. And the second thing is we're rubbish at looking after fish. Okay, so it might, things might change and things may change in your relationships and in your friendships. Now, when was the last time you did something for the first time with your best mate? When was the last time with a friendship that you have got? It's not all about a marriage, it's about friendships that we have. When was the last time you just went out and did something with your friend? We can get very lazy in our relationships and then we wonder why they're not working. We can get very lazy in our relationships within church and then wonder why it's not working. It's not working because we've got lazy, because it's not new anymore. And it's not those feelings of flutter and excitement like there was on that first Valentine's Day. You know, it's not like that anymore. It's different. We've been with each other 17 years. We know each other's brilliant points and not so brilliant points. There are those irritations. There are those things that we have been through together that some of them are really happy and some of them are really sad. And we've done life together. It's not new anymore, but there still needs to be effort made. For some of us, you know, in this house, it's not a new house to us. We've been here for years. Some of you have been listening to me preach for 21 and a half years. The Lord bless you. We've got to get good at working on what we've got. Because you know what? What we've got is better than what a lot of people have got. And we've got to get good at working on it because lazy love makes the others do all the work. Do you know what? In your friendships, in our stuff as a church, how we love our community, it's not all down to one person. It's down to all of us. You know, I'm good friends with Diane. And it's down to both of us to make that friendship work. It's not just down to me and it's not just down to her. It's down to both of us. It's down to both of us sometimes to call the other one up. How are you doing? Fancy a coffee? That normally happens on the walk down from school. Okay? But how are you doing? Is there anything I can do to help you? It's a two-way thing. And we've got to realize that within church, it's like that as well. If we're going to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not a leadership thing and it's not a few people thing. It's all of us. It's all of us loving like God has loved us. Yeah. And the last thing about lazy love is that lazy love takes things for granted. When we get lazy in loving, we take people for granted. And let me tell you something, this is one of the things that causes the biggest hurt. When you're taken for granted, when people just expect you to do it. But when we are working on love, we appreciate, we compliment, we take over tasks if need be, we ask if anyone needs help. When we're lazy, we just expect. And this creates distance in a relationship. Don't take one another for granted. In any sphere of life, we've had a season in church where there's been a bit of maternity leave going on. And it was great to have Diane back this morning on worship. Her maternity leave in that area now has come to an end. And she's back on team, and that was fantastic. We have 4 weeks and counting for Liz to come back. I've done life with this girl for 20 plus years and ministry for a very long time. And you know what would be very easy is for me to take her for granted. And then she goes on maternity leave. And I realize all over again what she does. And I need to be careful not to do that when she comes back. Because actually God places people in our world who are sisters in what we're doing for him, and we need to not take them for granted. The person sat next to you, don't take them for granted. Love them well. Whether you know them very well yet or not, if we are going to be a family, we need to love one another well and not become lazy in doing that. Because when we do, we take one another for granted. I want to go back to the phrase at the end of 1 Corinthians 13 in the Passion Translation. It says this: let love be the beautiful prize for which we run. If that is going to happen, then we need to keep love alive. We need to keep it active. Remember, love is a verb. It's a doing word. It's not passive. The kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of love, is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. It's a matter of it being a force, of strength, of ability, of passion. I want to say to you this morning that as we receive from God the kind of love that he gives us, that is what we should be passing on, first of all, to those in our immediate family. Secondly, to those in our friendship circle, to those in our church, but even sometimes more importantly, to those who yet don't know God, because they will judge God's love based on you. You know, there's people in your world that don't yet know God, and we talk a lot about how much God loves us. They'll judge how much God loves them through how you treat them. Because we are his hands and his feet. So this month, we're going to look at what it is going to take for us to really love and for us to love and love and love a bit more. And then when we think we've finished, to get up and to love a bit more. When we've been hurt, and I say this very sensitively, we get up and with the help of God, we love a bit more. Today, don't let love be a matter of talk in your life. Let it be a matter of power, and let it be a matter of action. Not just a feeling, not just what we say, but actually in everything that we do, let love be the action by which we live. The love that we receive from God, let's pass it on to all those around us.